Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Hello, this is Fred Film Radio. You are listening to the daily program Global Critics Venice Voice from the Venice Film Festival. I'm Rita Di Santo. I'll be hosting the program today. And I have in the studio three amazing colleagues. Andrew from Egypt.
Hello.
And he's a film critic writing for...
ALM.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm a programmer in Elgona Film Festival.
The Elgona Film Festival is an amazing film festival in Egypt. You have to go. This will be the sixth edition of the festival.
Exactly, in October, so we are very close.
And then we have colleagues from Hungary, Geza.
Yes, I'm writing for the market-leading Hungarian daily newspaper, People's Voice, and I'm also a programmer in the Miskolc International Film Festival.
And then we have Ben from Canada, but lives in France.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a jack of all trades for the American press. I work for a lot of different outlets because when they need somebody on the ground in Europe.
So this is a 6 o'clock at the Venice Film Festival, and we are having Aperol Spritz and Campari Spritz and just water or just crisps. And we're going to talk about three movies that were yesterday screened at the festival. The first one will be Woody Allen, that is out of competition. The title of the movie is Coup de Chance, and is the fifth movies of Woody Allen. The soundtrack is amazing. It's again jazz music, and the movie is set in Paris, and it's a romantic thriller following a beautiful wealthy couple, Jane and Fanny. They seem to be in love, but at Fanny's old flame is just around the corner, their affair start and the cries begin. Do you see the movie, Geza?
Oh, definitely. I'm quite a Woody Allen fan, so all these scandals around him were not shortening my interest in him, and I think since Match Point, this is his best movie, and I wasn't expecting this. I was shocked. I mean, I think this festival was like me, like a Toto, you know, when you need to guess the result of the soccer game. So who is going to be the winner in that morning? Is it going to be Woody Allen or is it going to be Sofia Coppola? And I think I was in the minority who said Woody Allen, maybe. But I was surprised that I won. So for me, he won this duel of the yesterday morning press screenings. Right, guys?
nice example, actually.
It's on the other hand, just to riff on that, it is funny that when you compare the movies that are kind of arbitrarily put next to each other, sometimes as the festival goes on and in your exhaustion, you start to forget what scene came from what movie. You're like, it was weird when everyone was talking French in the Sofia Coppola movie. And...
Andrew, did you have time to watch Woody Allen yesterday?
I was in the other team. Actually, I went to Sofia Coppola's film, so maybe I bet on a different way, but I have to say I lost.
but you know that you could do both, so...
Yeah. But after all, you are trying to catch mini films from different programs. So I was playing smart. I wanted to watch Woody Allen in a different slot, but unfortunately it didn't win well. But I heard many good feedbacks, especially compared to his last few films, that this one is much more like somehow a comeback for him.
But you saw a Tunisian movie. Like,
yes.
What's the title of the movie?
Behind the Mountain.
And was in Horizonte.
Exactly. It's by Mohamed Atiya. It's a fantasy film about a father who discovers that he can fly. And we're not talking about a superhero style of flying, but about a very ordinary man who tries to understand what is this ability, and trying to reconnect with his son. And giving him this idea about that people might be flying and they don't know. So let's try it. It's really complicated film, and but the scenery is really interesting. And as you can tell from the title, there is a mountains and there is a nice landscape. And actually the director did a very good job regarding the cinematography itself.
Do you know that this? Do you know if this movie will be in another festival, maybe in Cairo or Guna?
Most probably, it will be. It will have a good tour. I think London is on their list. Red Sea, and I'm not sure about TIFF if they are going to be there or not.
Okay, let's go to the next title. Priscilla by Sofia Coppola is a biopic based on Priscilla's memory, Lives and Me, and it's about Priscilla, wife of Presley, Elvis Presley, and it's a story of abuse, and I think it's a bit of feminist story. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's in the same way that Coup de Chance is like a very Woody Allen movie, this is a very Sofia Coppola movie. And it was just what you guys were saying really got me thinking that the Woody Allen movie was quite well received in light of the disappointments of his previous films. And I think that maybe part of the disappointment that's attached to the Sofia Coppola film is that her last two films have been quite strong. Even her most recent one before this, On the Rocks, which was a lighter, smaller film with Bill Murray, a comedy. It was quite a nice, charming film, but The Beguiled before that, I think, won Best Director at Cannes. And so she's been on kind of a high streak. And one of the disappointments with Priscilla is that it does feel like she's repeating herself in a marked way. It's very much of a piece with that Sofia Coppola style, a young girl brought into a world where she's not really given the ability to express herself, and the overwhelming sense of erasure that she feels in this world that's not very kind to her. It's typically moody, it's got great music, it looks beautiful because she's a very gifted visual filmmaker, but you reach a point at about the 1 hour 10 mark where you say, oh, that's all it is. Like it's not going to go any further than just being a moody story of abnegation, and I think there's a little bit of disappointment involved in that.
Well, haven't you been missing the Elvis songs in that movie?
You know what? I actually liked the fact that you didn't hear any Elvis songs in the movie. It gave it built in a kind of absence to the movie that that was thematically coherent, actually. It reminded me a bit of, you ever see the movie, the Todd Haynes movie, Velvet Goldmine, which is sort of kind of about David Bowie, but didn't have any rights to the David Bowie discography. And so it makes a kind of uncanny film where it's about something, but also about the absence of that same thing.
I think it would be interesting to mix, you know, the Baz Luhrmann's Elvis, which was about Baz Luhrmann, and this movie, which is about Priscilla, and also mix the two characters. And I think the perfect movie would be between those two movies somewhere. So the one was like, let's recreate Elvis shows. This one is about... Okay, it's about Priscilla. I'm not sure about the chemistry with the two actors, Elvis and Priscilla. And I'm not sure that Elvis was like like a basketball player. So like in this movie, and Priscilla was small, like, I don't know. So this made me kind of a comedy-ish feeling to it. So I was laughing at some parts. And I felt guilty that I shouldn't laugh. This is an important and very dramatic film. I should be touched. So yeah, I maybe I'm a little bit cynical with Sofia Coppola. I'm in that gang who say that her first movie was the best, like Soderberg. So that's a kind of a club. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's okay. But my most problem was that it's very fragmented. If you don't know their story, this film is not letting you know. So these are scenes built on each other, and the continuity, if you are an innocent viewer, so it makes it a little bit hard, I guess.
I think I agree with this about if you don't know the story about this film, because I felt that the most disengaging thing about this film is that if you don't know that this film is about Priscilla and Elvis Presley, you feel it's a normal film about a poor girl who is married to a very famous and rich man. So I don't feel what is the point of producing a film about this specific character? What's in it for this character to be shown in this film? Especially when we are talking about we just mentioned Baz Luhrmann's film. I mean, the approach of the director himself in that film was something you can enjoy it, but here I felt like, what is the approach? Why we are following Priscilla? It was not very special a character for me. Even the actress was good, but not super that you are following her. And it came to my mind that one of the films that were screened in the first few days, El Conde. It's also somehow a biography film, but with a very extreme approach, different, very crazy approach, actually. So this is that, let me, after maybe you was mentioning 110 minutes, or for me, after 30 minutes, I felt it's okay. They are going to be married. They were going to have some feud between them, and we know how it's going to end. So yes, please continue the film. And It continued like this. I mean, even Blonde last year, which I didn't like so much, but it has some sort of a point of view from the filmmaker Andrew McKenzie, which I felt it wasn't present here in Priscilla.
It also has more aesthetic variation, Blonde. You know, I mean, there's something to really grapple with from the scene to scene, mm-hmm. From last year's film. Whereas Priscilla is more flat. I mean, it maintains a similar aesthetic all the way throughout. It is a kind of a collection of scenes that all follow a mood logic more so than a narrative logic. And if the mood logic isn't enough, then you know you're gonna check out. You're gonna check out of Graceland.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, I was looking at those two films, Woody Allen and Priscilla. That it's a duel. So in Priscilla, I had a feeling that, where is the director gone? At the Woody Allen film, I had a feeling, okay, he's old, he's worn out, but there is still the director who can make a film like that. So yeah, that was a strange feeling, seeing these two movies side by side.
Priscilla Presley, the real one, was at the press conference, and somebody asked, "Did you like the movie? Which moment of the movie did you like the most?" And she said, "The end." And I felt, wow, that she really grasped the meaning of the movie, because the most important part of the movie is when she leaves.
Yeah.
And I feel that kind of reality that the moment the movie reaches at the end, at that point, is really powerful. It's all quiet, but it's almost all built for that moment. And it can be boring, can be... But if you think about the other Elvis, the other side, when Priscilla leaves, the other movie, it doesn't have that meaning. So that's what I said is feminist, because when a woman decided to leave that kind of man, you are with him since you are 14, then it becomes real, because Sofia Coppola is really attached to this real story, real emotions. I feel the same that you said, Ola. I agree with you about the narrative structure of the movie. Is quiet, it's too quiet. Anyway, just to have a little few minutes to talk about another movie in competition, Hitman by Richard Linklater. It's one of my favorite directors. It's a film based on a true story of a Texas policeman who went undercover as a contract killer, and it's a hybrid comedy. Mm-hmm. Well, did you have time to have a look at this movie yesterday?
Not me. I need to admit, because the Hungarian distributor said we are not going to release it. I said, then I hear that it's fantastic. Really? So I fear really mad.
you lost this duel.
Andrew, you saw the movie, no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And actually, it was the best ending for yesterday because it was out of competition. I don't know why, and I felt, but it's Richard Linklater. So let's see what he is going to do. And when you read the synopsis, it's really a film about a police undercover who is acting like a hitman to let people who want to hire a hitman fall into the police trap and get fined or jailed or whatever. So the synopsis doesn't give the real mood of the film, and the film is really comedy to hilarious scenes sometimes, and how this undercover cop, he has a different life. He's also a teacher, and how he gets in love with being giving each time he goes to meet a different one, a different character with a different makeup, and he loved being in this until he falls in love with one of these suspects. So the film goes in a different way. So it's a 2-hour film, and you will not you will be fully engaged till the end of the film, which is, I felt, really smart.
It's a comedy. It's a pure comedy. I agree. And it's really a comedy about performance. It's about a kind of a nerdy, uninteresting man who is tasked with becoming something that he's not, and he ably is able to tackle that. You know, it turns out that he's a better fake hitman than he's more interesting and more sexy as a fake hitman than he is in his daily life. And then eventually he sort of becomes that more and more because he strikes up a relationship with a woman who hired him, and he sort of dissuades her from pursuing her services, which is basically just a way of saying, don't give me the money so the cops don't pounce on you. And she's turned on by the fact that, oh my God, she's dating a hitman. And he likes the effect that has on her as well. And so they create this kind of relationship that's built on performance, that's built on a lie. And you know, without being super intellectual about it, you know, that's true of a lot of things in life. Like, we always sometimes act the part that we want. And it as the best comedies do, it pushes something that's real into a very extreme state and derives a lot of humor and a lot of outrageous situations from this idea of having to perform in life, and perform sometimes for a romantic or domestic partner as well.
So thank you very much. It was great to have you, Andrew, Gess, and Ben. Thank you so much. Let's go and have another spritz.
Perfect. Yeah.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.